Let's pray again. Father in heaven, we are so thankful for this good day that you've given us, a day of worship and fellowship and praise. Father, we ask that you just bless us, that we might honor and glorify thy name this day. We're thankful for these assembled here and pray that you'd richly bless each one. Father, we're mindful of those who are not able to attend your house. Father, you know every need and every circumstance. We ask that you be merciful and supply those needs. Father, we ask that you restore to this house of worship those who are absent from us. Now, Father, we pray for the church, wherever she would assemble today. Ask that you bless your ministering servants. Father, we ask for a reviving of thy people, that we might truly rejoice in thee. Just now, Father, I pray that you'd bless me to preach the word, to bless each one of us to hear and to understand. Father, grant that we'd just be faithful in our service unto thee. Forgive us our sins and our shortcomings, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. I invite your attention this morning to the book of Proverbs, the 24th chapter. And I want to read the first six verses. Proverbs chapter 24, verses 1 through 6. And we'll concentrate mainly on the third and fourth verses of this passage of Scripture. As you're turning to that, I want to call your attention to the fact that John records the words of Jesus as he was speaking to a group of Jews, and he told them to search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. So when Jesus told them that the Scriptures testified of him, of course he had under consideration what we today call the Old Testament, as what we refer to as the New Testament had not been written in Jesus' day. But the point that I want to call your attention to, that he said Scriptures, and I think he had in view all of those Old Testament writings, he said, testify of me. So the Old Testament Scriptures are a testimony of Jesus Christ. And we can read through passages that prophesy of the coming of Jesus. I think of Moses telling the people in his day that God would raise up a prophet like me, hear him. So we can see some parallels between Moses and Jesus. So we call Moses in certain instances a type of Jesus. One of what I consider a very valuable study in Scripture is that of the Old Testament tabernacle. And there's so many things in that tabernacle that give us a picture of the work or the person of Jesus Christ. I think about David writing in the Psalms, especially that 22nd Psalm. He said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And Jesus spoke those very words as he hung on the cross. So in a lot of those Scriptures, it's very evident that they're talking about Jesus Christ. There are Scriptures that give us the ugliness of fallen human nature. The Bible doesn't hide anything. It records the sins, even of God's own people. And as I've mentioned, David, and it records his sin of adultery and so many others, that their sins are just laid right there. That's a testimony of how much we need Jesus Christ. The passage I'm going to read this morning has to do with our practical living. It's just good, practical advice. But as Jesus says, those Scriptures are a testimony of him. We must understand that this practical advice is advice on how to be good disciples of Jesus Christ, to walk in a Christ-like manner, to walk in a way that is pleasing unto God. So I want you to keep in your mind, I started to say in this study, but all the time, keep in your mind Jesus Christ. Focus your attention on him and what he expects of us, what he gives us grace to do. Proverbs 24, and beginning at the first verse, and these are the Proverbs written, we assume, by Solomon. And he said, be not thou envious against evil men, neither desire to be with them. for their heart studieth destruction, and their lips talk of mischief. Through wisdom is an house builded, and by understanding it is established, and by knowledge shall the chambers be filled with all precious and pleasant riches. A wise man is strong, yea, a man of knowledge increaseth strength, for by wise counsel shalt thou make thy war, and in the multitude of counselors there is safety. Now, first of all, the very good advice, be not thou envious against evil men, neither desire to be with them. You know, Satan always shows us the good side of things, or what looks good to our eyes. And we can look and see, and especially in our day, we watch the movies and TV and all that, and we see these people that look like they live a very rich lifestyle, looks like everything's good for them, they just got it made. It's very easy to be envious of them and in the manner in which they live sometimes. And even though we have a picture of something good, many of those people are just purely evil. And we need to be careful that we're not, when he says be envious against them, that we're not envying and desiring to be like them and to be with them in their condition. For their heart setteth destruction, and their lips talk of mischief. And we can hear the message today that will certainly direct us to destruction if we follow that manner of living, that manner of thinking. But then in the third and fourth verse, through wisdom is an house builded, and by understanding it is established, and by knowledge shall the chambers be filled with all precious and pleasant riches. Now, a couple of things that I want us to be very much aware of. He's talking about building a house. Now, you can apply these words to a literal, a physical building, and certainly it takes some wisdom to build a house, and it takes some understanding for that house to be built so it'll last any period of time. But you know very well that Scripture is not talking about building a literal house. This is talking about a family, a household. It's talking about a life in service to God. And it must be established by wisdom, by understanding, and by knowledge. And it talks about it being filled with all precious and pleasant riches. We talked in Bible study this morning a little bit. People read about riches and prosperity in Scripture, and they think about the material wealth. Physical, outward prosperity. But this deals with soul prosperity, that your soul might be in health, that we might walk in a way that is worthy of God, be prosperous in our service to Him. Now, I grant that God does, in many instances, give wealth and prosperity, health, and all those other things to His people. But there are others of His people, people that we would consider righteous men who live in poverty, who suffer ill health and all those other things. But they have soul prosperity. They have a relationship with the Lord. They're at peace within their hearts. And that's riches that the world can never know and understand. And I want to point out also that this passage talks about wisdom, understanding, and knowledge. And those words in meaning are very similar, and in fact sometimes they're used interchangeably in Scripture. And I'm going to show you an instance of that in just a few moments, the Lord willing. But when they are used together, as they are in this passage, there's some at least subtle difference. And we want to understand, you know, the message that God has given us through the use of these words. Now, the first word is wisdom, and there are two kinds of wisdom spoken of in Scripture. James talks about that in his letter in James chapter 3. James chapter 3, verses 13 through 18. And he begins this particular portion with a question, who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Now there again you see the connection of wisdom and knowledge, very closely related, but there is a difference. Let him show out of a good conversation his works with the meekness of wisdom. Now, the conversation here is a manner of living or lifestyle. If he's truly wise, let him live in a way, in the way of wisdom. Let him demonstrate that by his life. But if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. So there is the first type of wisdom. It is an earthly wisdom. It is a natural wisdom. And the result of that is bitter envies and strife in your hearts. Now, look at our society today, and I think that would pretty well be a description of the strife and the bitter envies and all the things that's going on. So, where does that come from? It's following earthly wisdom. Men who appear to be wise, educated, knowledgeable, and you listen to them, and you fall into this kind of lifestyle. But then verse 17 it says, but the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy, and the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. So if we follow that wisdom that is from above, a heavenly wisdom, a godly wisdom, then that's pure, peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. So we're seeking this godly wisdom that we can, by which we can build a house and that house be established. In the book of Psalms in the 111th division, just want to read the 10th verse, Psalm 111, verse 10. We find how we can gain this godly wisdom, this wisdom that is from above. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do His commandments. His praise endureth forever. Now there we see the wisdom and understanding very closely related. But the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And you can have no wisdom, with no godly wisdom that is from above without fear of the Lord. Now, you well know, I trust you well know, when the Bible uses the terminology of the fear of the Lord, it's not talking about being afraid, of being scared. It's talking about a godly reverence. It is talking about a respect. It is talking about not acknowledging God for who He is. Acknowledging that He has the right to command us. That He has a wisdom that we do not have. He knows more than we know, and if we have any kind of wisdom at all, if we fear the Lord in that sense, we look to Him and we're obedient unto Him. In the book of Proverbs again, in the first chapter, in the 7th verse. Now, the fear of the Lord, the psalmist says, is the beginning of wisdom. Proverbs chapter 1 verse 7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. Now here, this verse gives us a parallel. It states the same truth in two different ways. So the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, But fools despise wisdom and instruction. So their knowledge is equivalent to wisdom and instruction. But there again, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. You don't have any true knowledge without that fear of the Lord. Now, one other passage in Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 4. By humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. Now, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. But by humility and the fear of the Lord are the riches, honor, and life. So that humility goes along with the fear of the Lord. If we truly fear, if we truly reverence, if we truly honor God, it must be with humility. As I think the phrase is attributed to the baseball player Yogi Berra. He said basically concerning God, he said, I know two things about God. There is a God and I'm not Him. So that humility is recognizing I'm not God, but I have fear, I have respect and reverence for the One who is. Therefore, I humble myself before Him and I seek to walk in His obedience. And then I can expect that riches, honor, and life. And again, we're not talking about material wealth, but a soul riches that comes in honoring and worshiping and serving God. Now, the second thing we're told that by wisdom is in the house builded, and by understanding is it established. That understanding, again, it is very close to wisdom. But as I understand it, this word understanding as used here would be very similar to our word skill. It is the ability to do. If you understand skill, you know that it can be developed and it can be perfected. You might have a natural aptitude, you might have a certain skill, but the more you work in that skill, the better you are at whatever that skill is. But I think you also understand that if you don't keep on using that skill, you'll lose much of it. And those who play the piano can tell you, the more they practice, the better they get. If you don't practice, you lose a lot of the skills that you have developed. I think I can give you an example of that in Scripture. In the book of 1 Kings, in the third chapter, King Solomon, and he, the testimony of Scripture that he is the wisest man that ever lived, of course, with the exception of Jesus Christ. In 1 Kings chapter 3, and I begin reading at verse 5, in Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, ask what I shall give thee. And Solomon answered, thou hast showed mercy unto thy servant David, my father. Thou hast showed unto thy servant David, my father, great mercy, according as he walked before thee in truth and in righteousness and uprightness of heart with thee. And thou hast kept for him this great kindness, that thou hast given him a son to sit on his throne as it is this day. And now, O Lord my God, thou hast made thy servant king instead of David my father, and I am but as a little child, I know not how to go out or to come in. Now, I'm going to pause there to point out, and Solomon says, I don't know how. And he's talking about how to lead God's people. In that regard, I'm nothing but a little child, and I don't know how to lead. He doesn't have the skill, so he's going to ask God for that skill, that understanding. And thy servant is in the midst of thy people, which thou hast chosen, a great people that cannot be numbered nor counted for multitude. Now Solomon is recognizing that this is God's people. He has respect to God, and because these are God's people, I need to be careful in how I deal with His people. You see, so the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Give thy, therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this thy so great a people? Now, notice that here Solomon doesn't use the word wisdom. He doesn't say, give me wisdom, but give me an understanding heart. And there again, that understanding comes close to our word skill. So give me a heart that is skillful in judging, in leading thy people. And the speech pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing. And God said unto him, because thou hast asked this thing, and hast not asked for thyself long life, neither hast asked riches for thyself, nor hast asked the life of thine enemies, but thou hast asked for thyself understanding to discern judgment. Behold, I have done according to thy words. Lo, I have given thee a wise and understanding heart, so that there was none like thee before thee, neither after that thee shall any arise like unto thee. So God gives that understanding heart, and He gives wisdom. And Solomon, of course, was renowned and known for his wisdom. So the thing that he was desiring was that skill. To take those things and use them, to put them to work. And so we need that kind of understanding in serving our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, as I've already mentioned, that with a skill, if you don't keep using that skill, you lose it. We all know the case of Solomon, and the early part of his reign was outstanding. The Lord blessed, and he brought riches, he brought wealth into that city of Jerusalem. But in his old age, he turned away from God. And we read in 1 Kings chapter 11, the beginning of Solomon's downfall. 1 Kings chapter 11 and beginning at verse 1. Sometimes the wording of Scripture is kind of humorous to me, but if I put it in kind of today's context, it does sound kind of humorous, but you need to go back and understand it. It says, King Solomon loved many strange women. And I just have a picture of strange women. But what this means, they were strangers to Israel. They were foreigners. And he goes on to describe, he loved many strange women together with the daughter of Pharaoh, women of the Moabites, the Ammonites, the Edomites, the Zidonians, and the Hittites, of the nation concerning which the Lord said unto the children of Israel, ye shall not go in to them, neither shall they come in unto you, for surely they shall turn away your heart after their gods. Solomon clave unto these in love. Now, that word clave means to cling. He was adhered to them in love. I talked earlier about the wisdom that is from above and the wisdom that is earthly. And Solomon was acting in an earthly manner of wisdom in this particular passage. We find that Solomon married a lot of these women who were daughters of kings of other nations. So in marrying them, he made an alliance with them and strengthened his kingdom. Or in an outward sense, it appears that he was strengthening the kingdom. That was what was commonly done in that day. And those kings took many wives to demonstrate their strength and all those other things. So he's acting in worldly wisdom, but in disobedience to God. And he had 700 wives, princesses, and 300 concubines, and his wives turned away his heart. For it came to pass when Solomon was old that his wives turned away his heart after other gods, and his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God, as was the heart of David his father. So that skill, that ability, that understanding that he had in the beginning was lost because he turned away from that wisdom that God had given him. Now, that, again, is a lesson for us in how we are not to conduct ourselves. In the New Testament, we have, a picture of the right way that we are to conduct our lives. We find in 2 Peter, the 3rd chapter, verses 17 and 18. Again, 2 Peter chapter 3, beginning at verse 17. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. Grow in grace and in the knowledge. God has given us wisdom. He's given us grace. He's given us a degree of knowledge, and we are to grow into that. We are to exercise those gifts God has given us. And in a spiritual sense, if we're not growing, we're declining. You can't sit still in God's service. You can't find a comfortable place and just sit down and say, I'm where I want to be. Although that's what we try to do. And I fear that's why you see so many near empty church houses. People get comfortable. They don't exercise their skill and understanding, so they lose it. But we are to grow in grace and again in the knowledge of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Now let me turn back briefly to Proverbs chapter 24. In the 4th verse, it is, by knowledge shall the chambers be filled with all precious and pleasant riches. And we are to grow in grace and in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. As I said, the words wisdom, understanding, knowledge are very closely related. And as I understand it, the Hebrew word that is translated knowledge in this passage of Scripture has to do with that wisdom and understanding, and this knowledge is a love for that wisdom and understanding, and it is a love for putting those things into practice. You know, it's not enough to know, to understand, but we must use what we know. We must use that wisdom. And we need to love it. You know, I think sometimes God leads us into very difficult circumstances. And, you know, I've felt the Lord leading me in ways that quite frankly, I dreaded it. Because I pictured in my mind how hard it was going to be, all the obstacles that stood before me. But I've always found when I did what God told me to do, might not have been easy, but He made the way. And I could look back on those things and think my imagination was the worst part of the whole scenario. So we need to love, even if we might, in a natural sense, dread it. We might picture how bad it was going to be. If God is leading us to a place, we ought to love to be in that place. That's a knowledge of God that we all need. Now, I want to close by reading in the book of Colossians in the 2nd chapter. In the first 10 verses, Colossians chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. This is, of course, the writings of the Apostle Paul to the church at Colossae. And he said, I would that ye knew what great conflict I have for you and for them at Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding unto the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. There's why the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom and the beginning of understanding, because that's where they're all treasured up, in God and in Jesus Christ. And this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words, unless you turn from heavenly wisdom and start following earthly wisdom. For though I be absent in the flesh, yet I am with you in the Spirit, joying and beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him, rooted and built up in Him, and established in the faith as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in Him, which is the head of all principality and power. Seek to build your house, your household, your family, your life. Build it on this wisdom, this understanding, this knowledge that is treasured up in Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. For you're complete in Him. If you're complete in Christ, you don't need anything that the world has to offer. But He supplies all that we stand in need of. And in Him is spiritual riches, even beyond our imagination. So I pray that we consider that, you know, Solomon in the Proverbs gave us some good advice, and we need to heed, we need to put into practice those things. We need to seek that godly wisdom and walk therein. And I pray that the Lord would grant it for Christ's sake.